This is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta Astars. Nicolette Hahn Nyman is an environmental lawyer, a food activist, a livestock rancher, and a former Kalamazoo City Commissioner. She's gained a national reputation as an advocate for sustainable food production and improved animal welfare. Hahn Nyman lives on a ranch in Northern California with her husband and two sons, and she writes for many publications. Her first book, Righteous Pork Chop, exposed abuses in factory farming, but her latest book, Defending Beef, The Case for Sustainable Meat Production, is proving to be controversial. Hahn Nyman says beef is not at all the bad red meat for us or the planet that we've heard it is.
What I was living on the ranch that we live on here in Northern California, and what I was seeing on our ranch and other well-run ranches that I was visiting around the country, was in such stark contrast to what I was hearing from the environmental community as far as environmental impacts. And increasingly, I was also coming across more and more material that was really challenging the conventional wisdom about the health issues. And so I really felt someone that had a really legitimate background in science and especially in environmental work really needed to re-examine the question of the impact of cattle on the land and the impact of beef on our health. And that's what this book does. It really re-examines what I think have become sort of assumptions, almost conventional wisdom about those issues.
So let's get this out of the way. I'm sure if you haven't been asked already, everybody's probably asking. Nicolette, you're a vegetarian still?
Yes.
Why?
That's true.
Now, after reading this book, I'm trying to figure out why.
Well, the book doesn't argue, you know, and I've never argued personally either, that you have to eat meat. The point of the book is to say, for those people who choose to eat meat, well-raised beef is a good choice. That's the point.
Okay. So are you saying with this book, is all red meat healthy, or is there a difference between one kind or the way the cattle are raised?
Well, the book talks a lot about the specifics of how, you know, a lot of things that are happening in the conventional mainstream beef industry. And it's both a defense of beef and a critique of beef. So there are many practices that I think are very problematic, both for, you know, environmental reasons and human health reasons and animal husbandry reasons. And among the things I strongly object to are things such as using growth hormone on beef cattle. Mm. There's no good reason to do that, and there are many reasons not to do that. So I think that's one of the things that should be ended. I also think that there's far too much usage of having animals in confinement and feeding them grain rather than keeping them out on grass as much as possible. My book doesn't argue that you should never, ever feed grain to cattle, but I argue that we should be a grass-based system much more so than we are today. So it produces healthier food, and it's much better from an environmental standpoint.
Okay.
So when beef cattle are raised the best way, that produces food that doesn't, you know, where you don't have to worry about the contaminants and the residues in the meat, and also produces food that is very helpful. It has a higher nutritional content, especially meat that is raised entirely on grass. It has more omega-3s. It has higher levels of various vitamins, et cetera. So there are lots of good nutritional reasons, but for me, the most compelling reasons to keep cattle on grass are environmental.
I would imagine that for vegetarians or even just people cutting back on meat, that one of the reasons is that we want to be humane to animals, that we're concerned with animal welfare. Compare the modern slaughterhouse out there to how you raise through that full life and death cycle the cattle on your ranch.
Well, in both of my books, my first book is Righteous Pork Chop, and then the book Defending Beef, I talk a lot about the way animals are raised today in sort of concentrated, confined situations. This is especially a problem with poultry, turkeys and chickens and pigs. It's less of a problem the animal welfare issue is really less of a problem when you're talking about beef cattle, because even when beef cattle are confined, they're confined to feedlots, which are essentially outdoor environments. They're not nearly as crowded as pigs and chickens and turkeys are when they're in buildings. And they at least they get to be outdoors, which it really is a real animal welfare issue. You know, what I do in both my books is I sort of talk about the history of the way animal raising has changed and why that's problematic for both the environment and certainly for the animals and the quality of life that they have. There's really no good reason. I mean, we're told again and again that we sort of have to raise animals this way today from the perspective of producing enough food. But again, when you look at the statistics about the numbers of animals, it's really much more a question of the animals being raised in a different way. The number of pigs, for example, is pretty much the same number of pigs today as it was in 1915. Mm-hmm. So people assume we need to have them in these factory farms in order to produce enough pork today. That's really not the case. It's really just more about reducing costs and making it less labor intensive.
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta Astars. I'm talking with Nicolette Han Nyman, the author of the new book, Defending Beef, The Case for Sustainable Meat Production. We've heard from many sources over the years that raising cattle damages the environment. Han Nyman has a different view.
And to me, it's become increasingly clear over the last 12 years that I've been working on these issues that that's really a question of how it's done. And when things are done in the best way, the manure is not only not a problem, it's really an asset to an ecosystem and to an agricultural operation. So manure is, good, extremely good, actually, when it's, from well-managed animals. And it's a problem when it's from, a confined feeding operation that has, the modern industrial animal operation has far more manure than it can possibly dispose of in an environmentally responsible way. It's sort of inherently environmentally problematic. That is not at all the case for a well-run grazing operation where the manure is actually very beneficial, returning nutrients to the soils and helping to regenerate the soils and keep the abundant life that happens beneath the ground thriving. So manure is, all about how it's handled. It's in a well-run grazing operation, manure is an asset.
So what about world hunger? That's yet another argument that we hear is, can we feed the planet on plants? How realistic is that?
Well, that issue, there's been a lot of analysis of that. There was actually a big study that was done by a European think tank a few years ago that looked at how much meat and dairy you could produce for the world if you, kind of got rid of factory farms. And they also looked at what about if you converted to totally organic agriculture and got rid of the chemicals. And they found that with just slight reductions in the diet in the Western world, as far as meat and dairy, because the Western world, the United States and many westernized countries, consumes a lot more meat and dairy than the developing world.
Yeah.
And so they found that if there was just a slight reduction in that, you could actually easily satisfy the demands, the global demands for meat and dairy.
You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. We've been talking with Nicolette Han Nyman, the author of Defending Beef, The Case for Sustainable Meat Production. I'm Zinta Astars. Join us every Tuesday at this time for Between the Lines. Thanks for listening.